Amen. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. Let me see. I've been flipping. 1 John. Not Big John, Little John. 1 John 4, verse 1. Let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. First John chapter 4. Everybody there? Way back in the back of the book. Let's pray. Let's read God's word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, and Lord, again, we praise you, we honor you, we lift up your name above every name and everything. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to answer your call to preach the gospel, Lord God. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak through me to your people, Lord God, for your honor and for your glory, Lord God, and that I wouldn't say anything, Lord God, that you don't want me to say, Lord, this morning, God. And pray that your word, God, as we just read it, Lord God, and as we go over it again here, Lord, that your word wouldn't fall on false hearts, Lord God, or hearts that wouldn't understand, Lord God, that we could take your word, and Father, we could live your word, Lord God, and do exactly what your word says, Lord. Again, I pray for those that are not here this morning, for those that are on vacation. I pray, Lord God, for the families of the funerals that we had yesterday, Lord, and God, just lift them up to you. I pray, God, if there's one here that doesn't know you this morning, Lord God, that they find that they answer that still sweet voice, Lord God, and come to you today, Lord. Father, I just pray and just lift you up. I lift up this world to you this morning, God, and all the things that's going on around us, Lord. And pray, Lord God, as you speak to us today on this subject, Lord God, of false spirits and false doctrines, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. We live in a world today where there are, as I just read, there are many antichrists. A lot of people ask about the antichrist, and we know that at the end of time and the tribulation period that there will be a antichrist, a ruler that rules all of the earth, and at the end, Jesus will take over. That is a different antichrist, and well, he's an antichrist. He's against, and all antichrist is to be against Christ. God said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's only two ways to go. It's Jesus or the world. And so he is warning us in his writings here that we are to be able to discern, that we are be able to tell the difference in a Christian and a non-Christian, or a preacher, or a book, or anything that is against Christ won't speak of Jesus Christ. And so the word says here, beloved, and he's talking to the church, talking to the Christian, talking to his people. He says, do not believe every spirit that tests the spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. You can turn on your television set tonight or when you get home, as far as that goes, but especially at night, and you will see all of these ads about false doctrines about the spirit world, about talking to gypsies, about talking to people that can tell you what your future is going to be. They even have shows on TV that talks about they're talking to the dead. They're talking to people that's died many, many years ago. We even have churches in this world that pray for people that are dead. We have many preachers that stand in the pulpit this morning that are preaching nothing but prosperity. Everything's going to be okay. It don't make any difference. And I know everything's going to be okay because God is in control. But these preachers preach that everything is going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be good if you just send me a check for $500. They look at the TV screen, they're shaking their head and saying, I know there's somebody out there with cancer right now that the doctor told you you was going to die this week. And if you'll send $500, or you send and get this prayer cloth, or you send and you get this holy water from a spring in Israel, you'll be healed. All of that is what God is talking about, false doctrine. And I'm going to tell you something, people, and I've said it. I think at both funerals yesterday, and I'm going to continue to say it. People might be mad at me. Some of y'all might not disagree with me, but religion has destroyed the world that we live in and is trying to destroy the Word of God, although the Word of God will never be destroyed. But you and I as Christians need to be able to know when something is wrong and when something is right. Now, the book of Isaiah tells us in the day that we live, in the last days that we live in, that they are going to be, that what is good will be bad and what is bad will be good. That's exactly what's going on in our world today. And what we're taught here, and John is saying that the Lord is leading him to write, is that, dearly beloved, you and I need to realize, we need to be able to tell the good spirit from the bad spirit. I've always said it just takes plain common sense. The deal is that the Word says in verse 2, it says, by this you know the Spirit. He's answering this. He asks the question, or he tells us that there's going to be false prophets, and he says that we need to be able to tell the false from the good. And then in verse 2, he tells us how to do it. He simply says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So, if you got a preacher that sits up here or stands up here behind a pulpit, or somebody that is witnessing to you, or some book you're reading, maybe it's supposed to be a Christian book, if every page on it or every word out of that preacher's mouth is about prosperity, about how to do this and how to do that, and they don't mention the name of Jesus Christ and the crucifix of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that Jesus died, the deity of Christ, he died on the cross, he arose from the dead, he walked among 500 people, his disciples, he gave us strict instructions on how to live and what to do. He ascended into heaven, and he one day is going to come back and receive us. If they don't preach the cross, if they don't preach the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're false doctors. I don't care who they are. I don't care how many thousand people's in their church this morning. I don't care if it's 25,000, 400,000. I don't care how many radio stations they own, how many books they have. But this is just a very simple book, and it plainly says that, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are in the world, and they have already came into the world. We're worried about, people that do, all they do is study the end times. It's important. All they're doing is trying. You have people that have went to seminaries and have doctor's degree, PhD, two or three of them, and all they do is try to figure out who the Antichrist is going to be. Who is going to be the Antichrist? God says There are many antichrists among you. In fact, they're already here. There's a lot of antichrists. You think about just exactly what I'm talking about. How many false preachers out there? How many false doctrines is out there? We got one group that believe that less than, I think it's 144,000 of them. You go to their church, you do everything you're supposed to do in church, you pray. I guess they use the Bible, I think they do. But they do all these, but in the end, it's like a lottery. Only 144,000 of them is going to go to heaven. People, Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for everybody. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are going to go to heaven. It don't make any difference what the men say. You see, we have put too much faith in the big preachers of this world. I'm going to call it like it is. That's what God is saying here. And the Bible says that, let me find a scripture. I wrote some scripture down here this morning. Let me find it. I know I got it wrote down here. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What does that say? Is everything that they're promoting in Washington, D.C. this morning of God? None of it is. Do not be deceived by the gay community. Do not be deceived by Republicans or Democrats. Do not be deceived by the things of the world, by the pornography, by the language that they use on TV today, by all of the, by the dress that the way people dress, the things that people do. God loves every one of them. Don't get me wrong, but you as God's children, he says, beloved, do not believe all of this junk that's out there, because they are against Christ. An antichrist just means against Christ. They don't want anything to do with Christ. And people, there are churches today that's taking in millions and millions of dollars. There are men today that are got two or three jets in their fleet that preach. And some of them are good. They're good as long as they preach Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if they get off of Jesus, they don't say anything about Jesus. They don't say anything about the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Remember Thomas? I believe it was Thomas. When Jesus talked to them in John 14, he told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son." There is no other way. It don't make any difference how many times you confess to me what you've done. It don't make any difference how many times you confess to the priest what you've done. It don't make any difference how many times you confess to your wife, or your wife to the husband, or to your best friend, "This is what I've done." It's okay. He says confess your sin. But the only way that you're going to get rid of that sin is to call on the name of Jesus Christ, the precious name of Jesus Christ. That is it. There ain't no other way. Don't be deceived. Don't worry about all this stuff that man said. The man said it thousands of years ago, and it's right here in the pages of this book. This is what it's about, and if it is not in this book, it's not true. It's a lie. It is a lie. They are liars and deceivers. It's what they are. The Bible says, I wrote some scripture down this morning, in John 8:31-32, he said, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" If you abide in Jesus Christ, if you abide in his word, don't let nobody tell you that if God's word says something, and A church is trying to say it's okay. It don't make any difference what the church says. It don't make any difference what the deacon say. It don't make any difference what the preacher said. It don't make any difference that the Bible said, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. There is no way around it. That is what Jesus Christ said, and that is the truth. And anything against that is the Antichrist. And Jesus said simply, how do you find out? Just by looking. Just exactly. And so many of us forget that. Think of scripture, the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:29 said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God don't have anything to do with confusion. People say, God caused me to do this. God don't cause you to do nothing. You will get yourself in a rut. You can be tested by God. Many of the prophets, many of the people were tested by God, but God don't throw that on you. God has nothing to do with anything but good. God says, I'm the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords. And if you put your faith and your trust and your hope in me, you will live. Just like the verse I just read. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. The churches of the saints. Now, am I saying I'm perfect? Am I saying that this church is perfect? That any church is perfect? No. But I am saying we're perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross at Calvary, and we are perfect through Him, and we strive to be the best that we can be. But we here are not as long as I am here, and I think the men that are deacons here, I don't think that we're going to change God's word to do something that we want to do. We're going to stand by God's word and what God says until it's over with. Because God wants us to be His people. God wants to love us. God wants to His people to worship Him and to do what He says do. Verse 3 says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. I was sitting in a seminary class in Houston, Texas, at Houston Baptist University back in the 80s. And the first day of class, and there was a guy, the pastor of First Baptist Anahuac, Texas, sitting by me. And it was Old Testament history, and so we open up in Genesis. And what does the professor say right out of his mouth? We're going to try to prove that Adam and Eve wasn't the first people on earth. And that guy looked at me, and I looked at him, and we walked out, went to the office and tried to get our money back for the course. We couldn't get it, so we just stepped out of that course for the semester. Antichrists are in our colleges, in our Bible colleges, in our university. They are all about tearing down. That's what the devil has been trying to do for years. But what I want you to understand this morning, that the devil is a lie, that the devil is the Antichrist, and that all he is trying to do is deceive you where that you will go to hell and burn for eternity with him. He wants to deceive you. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has already overcome the world. He didn't do it just today. He done it thousands of years ago on the cross, because God looked down at man And man had already made him sick at his stomach, and he got Noah to build the ark, and he destroyed and started over. And then, after all of that, he realized that man would never be good enough to do everything that he was supposed to do to live the righteous life. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross. He took on the sins. He was perfect. He was spotless. I think about all the time how Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he sat there and he stood and he told his disciples, y'all pray. He goes out to pray. He gets down on his knees and he's praying, and you know, and he started sweating these great drops of blood. He went back to the disciples and they were asleep. He woke them up and told them to pray. He went back. He went back a third time and they were asleep, and he went back and he began to sweat this drops of blood out of his face and running down his face. You know why? Because he knew every sin that you would commit in all of your life. He knew every sin that I would commit. He knew every sin that would be committed in this world, and he had to take on it. He didn't have to. He loved us that much that he was willing to take on that sin and take it to the cross and finish it. And when Jesus Christ hung his head on that cross and he said, it is finished, it is finished, it is over with, it is done. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. And we got to trust in him, and we got to do what he said. Just because it's 2023, we have computers, we have jet airplanes, a lot of people got a lot of money, there's been a lot of money being made. People say, well, money's the root of evil. No, money's not the root of evil. The misuse of money is the root of evil. That's the deal. And what these guys I'm talking about, these false teachers or false prophets, they are doing it for the money. And God said, this is, if Jesus Christ is not in it, but we live in a time where we got everything. Everything's fast. We want everything the way we want it. We go, they got 50,000 different hamburger joints, and one of them joints has got exactly the hamburger that you want. And a hamburger ain't nothing but some hamburger meat on a piece of bread with some mayonnaise and mustard so between it, and lettuce, tomatoes, and pickles. That's all, boom, that's it. But we live in a world where we got everything we want. And so religion, they even got drive-up churches now. Like the old drive-in movies, you drive up and put the speaker on your window and you listen to church and you go home and do what you want to. They don't use these altars no more in the churches. They don't pray with the preacher. They don't pray for people that are sick. They don't visit people. There was a guy here that was in the hospital, at the eye doctor the other day, and the doctor asked him, and I'm not bragging, I won't even use my name. The doctor asked him, he said, is one of them cookie bars your pastor? And he said, yeah. He said, they're the only two I ever see in the hospital. Pastors don't visit people. Pastors don't comfort people anymore that have lost loved ones. Churches don't have dinners for people no more and take up and hold up the people that are hurting, that are crying, that are have lost loved ones. They don't do it because they got time. They want to use their time to do what they want to do. They want to run in the church house on Sunday morning. And some of them go to Sunday school, and lots of them don't. And they want to just run in here, and they want to hear a preacher preach a feel-good sermon that makes them feel good. And they go outside and live like hell the rest of the week. That's what they want to do. But people, one day this week, I wrote one of my morning devotions. It was on temptation. The Antichrist is out there to tempt you in every way that he can. Then the only way to escape that temptation is to plant the mighty, powerful Word of God in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, and walk it every day. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, I don't just think about Jesus on Sunday. I said, you can't. If you're a Christian, you think about him every minute of every day, whatever you're doing. You have to discipline yourself to do that. But these antichrists, they will write a book or they will put out a study that sells 15 million copies, and then they got to come out with something better than that where they can sell another 15 million copies, and they just keep on and keep on and keep on. There was a man in 1989, I've mentioned this a thousand times before, but it's one of the, to me, it's crazy. He wrote a book, 1989, Countdown to Armageddon. Wrote it in about 3 years before 89, somewhere like that. Hal Lindsey. Didn't happen. So, a couple years later, he wrote another book, The Battle of Armageddon, The End Times. I think he calls the blood, I don't remember the title of the book, but he wrote another one to take place of that. And on and on and on they go. And all they're doing, I'm not saying every one of them is wrong, but God tells us in his word right there, beloved, dear children, listen to my word. He says, do not believe every spirit. Just because you see a preacher on TV and he preaches a feel-good sermon that you feel so good. You know what? If I do what I'm supposed to do, you ain't supposed to feel good. Your heart is supposed to get fuzzy and it's supposed to draw you to these altars. And these altars are something that are not in churches no more. They don't use the altars no more. People, we got to come to realize that we, again, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. All of those people that are leading in the wrong way, those people that have started all agendas. Not many of them, no count. All they're doing is trying to deceive you. God says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if you do not believe that the devil is alive and well, if you don't believe that there's evil spirits, and if you don't believe that there's angels that protect us, guardian angels, and the Spirit of God is to guide you in the right. If you don't know right from wrong, and God knows they don't know it in Washington, D.C., they ain't got a clue what right and what's wrong. They're teaching our blessed, precious children. They got a big fight going on in the state of Florida right now. I ain't even going to get into that. But they're teaching our precious children that you can just be a boy, or you can be a girl, whatever you want to be. This is what, you know, you can be what you want to be. Do you want your kid? That is false doctrine. Go to Romans chapter 2 and it'll tell you all about it. Look at the fall of the Roman Empire, the greatest, powerfulest kingdom that there ever was. You know why the Roman Empire fell? From the inside. Boom, 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 boom. That is exactly what's happened to the United States of America today. And it is time that you and I, as God, if we're going to call ourselves God's people, it is time that we stand up for God and we stand up for what's right. And when we see somebody say something that's wrong, we need to tell them, hey, Jonah told me the other day, don't say it, don't do that. She said, you're too hard on them. And I said, you're right. And I think about Paul. You know what Paul did when he came into Rome? You know how he used it? He said, men and women, I see that y'all are godly people. There's statues and there's idols and there's stuff everywhere. But let me tell you about the real one. That's how he done it. Old men like me can run people off. But there's a way that you can tell people, hey, son, daughter, Listen to them in a minute. Jesus loves you. It don't make any difference what you're doing, where you've been. It don't matter. Jesus loves you. Just to love somebody, just like I told a couple weeks ago about the guy in Corpus Christi, just to help somebody, that is what Jesus done. But we cannot help them by telling them that it is okay to do what you're doing because it is dead wrong. It is wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. It is wrong. It is the things that our country, that this world has, is propaganda. It's lies. It's false doctrine. But you know what? I've already read, God said that we're His people. And He said in 2 Chronicles 14, He said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. We're His people, He says in verse 2. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Jesus Christ is not some prophet that come along with the rest of them. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He always will be. He is the only one that will stand when all of this is gone. Jesus Christ will stand. And people, when those wars start, when that devil tempts you, I go back to what I started to say a while ago. I said in that devotional about temptations. A lot of you men like to fish. A lot of you like to hunt. A lot of you like hunting and fishing. What do we do when we go hunting? What do we do to get that fish? A bass fisherman, I take a lure out there and they'll throw it. And that fish is swimming under the water and he sees a sparkle. It's just like women and men, you may see something sparkle in your life. That old bass sees a sparkle. And what does he do? Boom! And within a few seconds, he's in the boat, and 6 hours later, he's in the grease because he failed the temptations. That old big buck, we put that corn out there in the fall year to draw them bucks, that lure them bucks to the corn. And that big old buck comes out there, he ain't got nothing on his mind but that corn. That fish ain't got nothing on his mind but that lure. You can't tell them nothing. My mom and daddy couldn't tell me nothing. I had my eye on that lure. We need to stop. When we see that sparkle, when we see something, and we know that it is an antichrist, it is against God's word, and we need to stop right there, because when you go after it, when that old big bass puts his mouth on that lure, it's too late. Praise God, in our situation, it ain't too late. As long as you're alive today, no matter how many lures you have taken, no matter how many times you fall, Jesus Christ is here to forgive you. And He will forgive you. But Jesus Christ asked His people to pray. Are you praying this morning? Do you want to pray this morning? Have you confessed your sins to Jesus Christ? In Matthew 24:5, when Jesus is telling about the end. And before I read it, let me tell you something. In Korea this morning, there is a nuclear submarine sitting there, loaded down to the gill. You can bet on that. Preacher ain't supposed to bet, but you can put your word on that. There is Marines headed to the Middle East. There is, I think they said the other day, 48 of the best jet fighter planes that we have headed that away. And I'm going to tell you something. Putin in Russia is crazy. The leader And China is crazy. They're anti-Christ. Don't wait till they pull that trigger. Because I don't know. Jesus, the disciples asked him, when is that day coming? I said, I don't even know. Only the Lord. Only God. But when they pull that trigger, it's going to... Matthew 24 says that day will be like no day has ever been or no day will ever will be. It's going to be too late. When they pull that trigger, when they shoot the first one, man is going to destroy himself if God, Matthew 24:23 says, for the elect's sake, the elect is the ones that decipher the Antichrist from the false prophets. Those, in Thessalonians says, the Gabriel will blow his horn, the dead in Christ will rise, and then those that are left behind will follow, and then all hell is good. If you think it's bad now, you haven't saw nothing. And even though I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ, there's going to be millions and millions, if not billions, saved out of the tribulation period, why not this morning? Why not today when you're okay? You're okay to come to the Lord today and say, Lord, forgive me. I believe that you died on that cross. I believe that you are Jesus. I believe that all those people that don't claim the name of Jesus, all those religions, all those cults are false. And Lord, I just want you to come into my heart. That's all you got to say. All you got to say is, Lord, I messed it up. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you went to that cross, that you took my sins to that cross, and that because of what you went through on that cross, I will be saved by your blood. And I want to put my faith in you. And that's all you got to do. God don't say, Jesus didn't say, all those that are good come to me. He said, I'm here for those that are sick. Where did Jesus go? Jesus went to the tax collectors, prostitutes, Zacchaeus. Remember little Zacchaeus? Hey, all of those, that it don't make any difference what you've done, who you are this morning. Put your trust in the Lord today because the day you can do it. The Bible says, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, it's over. That's how quick. It's over. It's done. What are you going to do with it? Let's stand. Father God, I come to you this morning, and Lord, I praise you. Oh God, how I praise you. And God, as I said last week in one of the verses, I beg your people to come today while they still can. Just to come down here to this altar and just to get on their knees if they feel that tug at their heart, if they know that they need to get down here, Lord, pick them up and drag them down here. God, help them to confess that you are their Lord and give you their life, Lord, before it's too late, Lord. God, all these babies, all these mothers and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, all of our friends and loved ones that are out there, Lord, I pray right now, God, that they be saved before it's too late. Because I know in the hour that we don't know, that we don't understand, just as death comes on people, God. We don't understand, we don't know why, but we know you do. God, help them right now. In this minute, in this second, as we play this hymn of invitation, to come to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.